Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to begin reading in verse 20 and read through verse 46 and then read the last part of verse 56. And our theme for this evening is our need to be watchful after the table. To be watchful after the table. So, congregation, let's give ear to the very word of God, beginning in verse 20 of Matthew 26. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Rabbi, is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." As they were eating, Jesus took bread and, after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not keep watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And in the end of verse 46, "Then all the disciples left him and fled." Our Father and our God, we again seek your blessing upon the reading and the preaching and hearing of your word. Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would do a mighty work, that we might hear Your voice to us. As like those disciples, we prepare to get up and leave the table and go into a wicked world this week. Lord, I pray that even though Your human servant who proclaims Your word is weak and sinful and limited, Lord, we pray that Christ would be glorified. We pray that we would clearly hear His voice this night and that He would be glorified. We pray it all in His name and for His glory. Amen. As I mentioned already, our theme, and I laughed when I saw the title of Barry's sermon early in the week because I had already decided to preach on this passage. And we really continue this evening with this theme of being watchful. And when it comes to the sacrament of communion, I think most of us are well aware of what we are to do before we come to the table and what we are to do as we come to the table. We understand that we are to examine ourselves, that we are to discern the Lord's body, that as we come to the table, that we are to come in humility and faith, relying upon Christ for forgiveness and strength. But what if you were asked, what is your duty as you leave the table? What is your duty after the table? And we might ask, does the Bible say anything to us about how we are to leave the table, what we are to do after we partake of the Lord's Supper? Well, the Bible doesn't explicitly say, do this or do that after you leave the table. But I believe in Matthew chapter 26, we have some important implied responsibilities and warnings that we should deduce about how we are to leave the table. We read how Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room. And then Matthew records the events that transpired immediately after that first Lord's Supper. And if we look closely, I think we see that there was a danger that awaited the disciples after that supper, a danger that they were completely blind to. They came away from that first Lord's Supper, no doubt blessed from that intimate time of fellowship with Christ. And yet they came away from that blessed time only to fall into serious temptation and sin. One of them betrayed Christ. One of them denied Him, and all of them left Him and fled. And all of that happened immediately after the first Lord's Supper ever to be observed. And so I want us to think briefly this evening about the dangers that we can face after the table and for our great need to be watchful and to remain in Christ, to find our confidence in Christ alone. The time following the Lord's Supper can be a time of great blessing and great joy, but it can also be an occasion for temptation and sin. And so we should be encouraged to leave the table with joy and with confidence, but also with spiritual watchfulness. I want us to first consider how the disciples were and how we are truly strengthened at the table. If you look with me at that first section, verses 20 through 25, you'll notice the disciples' disposition before they came to that first Lord's Supper. And we find men who were spiritually watchful. They were engaged in thoughtful self-examination, as I trust you were this morning. They didn't come to this table carelessly, with the exception of Judas, of course. But there seemed to be a genuine humility and trust in Christ. They reclined at that table, and Jesus told them that one of them was going to betray him. And notice the response. They were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" That's an important response for us to notice. They don't say to Jesus, "Lord, I would never do that." On their part, there was a genuine, thoughtful self-examination. They began to say, "Lord, is it I?" They looked to Christ as the one who knew their hearts. They knew their sin, and they didn't put it past themselves to betray Jesus Christ. And so the disciples came with humility, with watchfulness, with thoughtful self-examination. And as they came in this way, we see that they, like we did this morning, experienced real communion with Christ. They gathered in that upper room, and they experienced an intimate communion with Christ. He taught them. He assured them of His love, of His forgiveness. It was an intimate time of fellowship. And their experience was very much like ours was this morning. We came to the Lord's table, and by the enabling of the Spirit, I trust we came with thoughtful self-examination, with humility, with reliance upon Jesus Christ. And like them, we had real communion with Jesus. We dined with the risen Savior. And kids, I think this is something that it is important for you to learn, that we had the same kind of intimate fellowship as those disciples did in that upper room when they were physically present with Jesus. Because Jesus is with us by His Holy Spirit. And like them, by faith, we hear Christ teaching us through the ministry of the Word. We hear Him assuring us of His love, of His forgiveness, of His ongoing work for us. And in a very real way, we were strengthened in our faith. But like the disciples, we have to leave the table. We have to leave the table, we have to leave the fellowship of the church, and we have to go out into a world where we will face temptation and opposition, and our faith will be tested. Verse 30 gives us the transition. It tells us Jesus and the disciples had sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. And after this, we see a marked change in the disciples after they leave the upper room. And what we find secondly is how they are now overconfident after the table. And in their behavior after the supper, we need to be warned, first of all, about a misplaced confidence in ourselves. A misplaced confidence in ourselves. These men who had just come to the Lord's table with humility and thoughtful self-examination, these men who had communed with Christ, very quickly began to trust in themselves, so much so that they blatantly distrust and disregard the words of Jesus Christ. Listen to verses 31 to 35. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. Notice the dramatic change in their attitude. These were the same men who, when Christ said, one of you will betray me, went around the table and said, Lord, is it I? But now, suddenly, their humility, their self-reflection, their trust in Christ and His words are gone. And they're filled with overconfidence. And I think we would do well to ask, what happened? Why the dramatic change? I think the answer is simple. They had left that first Lord's Supper strengthened in their faith. They came away with a greater love for Jesus. They truly loved Him. They did not intend on forsaking Him, but they quickly began to mistake the grace and the power of Christ for their own strength. Their confidence in Christ quickly shifted to a confidence in themselves. And friends, the very same thing can happen to us. We can come to mistake the grace and the strength and the power of Christ for our own strength. We can come away from our time in the means of grace, truly strengthened by Christ, and yet so quickly and subtly began to attribute that strength to ourselves and become overconfident. And this warns us. If you're filling in the blanks, this is the second blank. This warns us that leaving the table can become an occasion for complacency and temptation. We may not often think of it that way. We think we're truly strengthened, and yet it can become an occasion for complacency and temptation. On the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus warned the disciples about the trial that awaited them. But they disregarded His warning. And when they arrived at the garden, Jesus tells them to watch and pray. In other words, He was calling them to be spiritually vigilant and alert. And yet instead of praying, instead of watching, they slept. You see, their misplaced trust in themselves produced a spiritual complacency that then left them open to temptation and sin. And friends, like the disciples, we can often think that our fellowship with Christ is so sealed, that our love for Him is so strong, that we can let our guard down. And in Matthew 26:41, after praying, Jesus found the disciples sleeping. And He said to them, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. He calls them to watch and pray so that they don't enter into temptation. And after that, He says, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And in that simple statement, Christ teaches us so much about our own hearts. We may come away from the Lord's Supper truly strengthened in our faith, filled with joy,
strengthened to go out and live for Him, wanting sincerely to walk in obedience to Him. We may want to do the right thing, but Jesus says, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, Jesus is telling us that our good intentions are not enough. And that means the second warning here is for us not to mistake our good intentions for strength. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We may have the desire to do what is right, but if we trust in our own strength, we will lack the power to do it. And I think all of us are prone in some way to make this mistake, to mistake our good intentions for strength, especially when we have experienced blessing under the means of grace. When we can tangibly feel Christ strengthening us. And yet, when we come to trust in ourselves, we get to the point where we are in danger. And we need to understand that the tempter loves to thwart the blessings of the means of grace. That he would like nothing more to undo the grace and the strength that you have received today. And one way he will seek to thwart those blessings is to take advantage of our overconfidence and lead us astray. That is what happened with the disciples. They experienced great blessings from the means of grace. They experienced that real communion with Jesus. Their love for Him was strengthened. Their resolve to serve Him was strengthened. And yet, they left that upper room. And one betrayed Him. One denied Him. And all of them forsook Him and fled. And so what are we to do as we leave the table, as we leave the fellowship today, as we begin a new week? How do we avoid this danger after the supper? Well, we find the answer in verse 38. We must remain with Christ and watch. We must remain with Christ and watch. Jesus said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." Now, how do you hear those words? I think too often we read that and think, "Wow, Jesus wanted he wanted them to remain with Him and watch for some moral support, some companionship." But Jesus didn't need any of that. Jesus didn't say that because He needed some moral support in His trial. He said that because He loved them. He wanted to be instructive to them. Even as the cross weighed upon Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, He still, out of love, is the gracious teacher. He didn't want them to fall into temptation and sin. And as we are called to remain with Christ and watch, that means we must continue to trust in Him, to beware of that temptation to trust in ourselves, to find our confidence in Christ alone, to recognize that we may leave the table, we may leave the fellowship of the church, but we can never leave Christ. Our need for Him is constant. And we never receive so much grace from the sacrament that we stop needing the One who is the source of that grace. Friends, we need Christ as much after the supper as we do before and during the supper. And it is striking that Jesus here calls them to remain Remain and watch. And what's striking about that is that the disciples would have just an hour or so earlier heard that same exhortation from Jesus. Because that word that is translated remain here, it's the same word, abide, that Jesus uses in John 15. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. This is our great need. It's always our great need. It's our great need as we leave the table. Abide in Christ. Remain with him. Keep on depending on him. Trusting in him. Praying for the Spirit's enabling. So friends, there is a danger after the supper. But there's also great blessing. A blessing that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so as we prepare to leave the table, leave the fellowship and begin a new week of work or school, let's hear the voice of Christ. Let's remain with Christ and watch, trusting in Him alone as our refuge and our strength, finding our confidence in Him alone. Amen. Lord, you are good to us. Lord, we thank you for your gracious warnings to us. And we know that we must confess that so often the gifts that you give to us, the blessings that you give to us, that we want to take them as our own. Or that the strength that we receive on the Lord's Day can so quickly morph in our minds to a sinful self-confidence. Or we pray that we would truly go out this week and live with confidence. But that confidence would be firmly rooted in Christ. Help us to abide in your Son, recognizing that apart from Him we can do nothing. But if we trust in Him, He will indeed empower us to live for His glory. We pray in Jesus' name.